Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us information with regards to our stay in this dunya. Obviously, the date of death is unknown. When will a person die? Nobody knows that. And for that matter, even the precise date of birth is unknown. However, in a very general term, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي, the age that is given to my ummah, the lifespan that is given to my ummah, مَا بَيْنَ سِتِّينَ وَسَبْعِينَ, it is between 60 and 70. And so generally, when anyone touches 60, then he must now realize that this is bonus. 60, 70. But khair, that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But generally speaking, 60 to 70. But what is for certain is that even if you are 60 or 70 or 80, 90 years of age, one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah is that Allah will take out barakah from time. And so we see that time flies very, very quickly. Jumah se Jumah. Subhanallah. Every time, mentally, I have to think, what topic am I going to touch on? Jumu'ah, what do I talk about? Because if you talk on the same topic, then you'll get tired. And then you'll say, Mauli sahab to ek hi baat karte. Jumu'ah se Jumu'ah, subhanallah. And the days are flying. And so this is the lifespan that is given to us in this dunya. After this dunya, we have two venues that a person will be transported to. How long will he have to live there? That is also mentioned in the Quran. That is why revelation is very, very important. Revelation is the only source that can answer the questions which no one else can answer. Nobody can answer, but revelation can answer you. So in the hereafter, there is only two destinations. One is Jannat and one is Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from Jahannam. And Allah grant us Jannatul Firdaus. So what is the lifespan there? This is also mentioned in the Quran. As for your life in the hereafter, insan, the process of death is only once. Malakul Maut will come to you, will come to every one of us, and ruh will be taken out, and this is called Maut, death. After that, how long are we going to stay in the next world? The words of the Quran differ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned khalidina fiha, and many a times Allah has mentioned khalidina fiha abada, that you will be staying in the hereafter in your real residence eternally, hamesha, hamesha ke liye. Nobody is going to take you out from that location. You will be there indefinitely. And so, khalidina fiha abada, you will be staying there all the time. There is no end there. Now, when we listen to khalidina fiha abada, sometimes we don't understand how it is that a person is going to be living in one of the venues, in Jannat for an example, all the time, and he will never come out from Jannat, inshaAllah. And Allah save us from Jahannam. Some of the scholars have given an example for us to understand, so that we compare this dunya with the hereafter. And some of the scholars have mentioned, imagine if this entire earth from the ground until the heavens is completely filled with very small pebbles. Small pebbles. And everything is filled. Basically, you can't see nothing but pebbles. Everywhere, pebbles. From the ground to the heavens. And every 1,000 years, one bird comes and picks up one pebble. How long do you think it will take for this entire earth to be free and for this earth to empty the pebbles? Virtually impossible. You can't even imagine, can you? Now, can you imagine? After every 1,000 years, one bird comes, flies and picks up only one pebble and goes. And then you wait for another 1,000 years, another pebble. Ulama are saying that this is the meaning of staying in one location forever and forever. Now, intelligent people need to understand that our main focus should be towards the hereafter, because that is the real world. And this is the barakat of wahi. It is wahi that is teaching you this. That always your heart should be inclined to the hereafter. Not to this world. Because this dunya we are living in is short-lived, very short-lived by. Last week, Maulana Sohel Baba Sahib came to do a bayan. Do brothers remember after Maghrib? Yeah. So he came from London. When he came from London, his purpose to come to Leicester was only to do a bayan, which was after Maghrib. Say Maghrib to Isha, not even Isha, 1 hour bayan. Now Maulana Sohel Saab comes from London and he comes to Leicester and he's only here for 1 hour. And he decides that, you know what? Right, if I'm going to Leicester, I'm going to build a house. Because I'm going there. So I'm going to make an investment. Let me have a plot. Let me find a nice area. Let me build a house. Let me get a house. And then in the back garden, I want a swimming pool and all that. And people are wondering that, Maulana Sahib, you're going to Leicester for a few hours and you are thinking so much of such investment that you want to do this and you want to do this and you want to do that. What will people think of Maulana Sahib? What will they think? Who said crazy? Oh. That was a massive leak. Maulana is not here at least. No, anybody would think that person is crazy. Anybody would think that person is crazy. Arey bhai, tum ek ghante ke liye ja rahe ho. And your diary, you are wondering, I want to buy this investment, this property, this back garden, front porch, this, that, gari, this. I want all of these things. People will say, bhai, you're going to go back to London. So what is the use of this investment? So like how we are laughing, the angels are also laughing at us. Naisaman. You didn't understand, brother? The angels are also laughing at us. That look at these human beings. Their life in this dunya is so short. But the trouble they are going through, investing here, doing that, doing this, and so much effort they do, only for dunya. But in reality, your dunya is very, very short-lived by, very, very short-lived. Because your real world is the hereafter. And malaika know that, because the malaika in the heavens have access. They have seen the things which we have not seen. That is why the barakat of Islam, my respected brothers, Islam makes you very, very intelligent. Islam teaches you things which you will not even learn in a university by reading books, by sitting in the company of a professor. You will not learn the reality, you will not learn your real destination, who you really are, where you came from, what will happen to you, where you are heading, what is happening to you. This is only the barakat of Islam. This is only the barakat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained all of these things to us. So my respected brothers, I am not saying that we should panic and live in a tent somewhere and aisi bas gypsy wali zindagi ikhtiyar kare. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that alhamdulillah, the concept of takdeer is very powerful in Islam. The concept of takdeer. Takdeer, your fate. This is very powerful in Islam. Why is there so much emphasis when it comes to taqdeer? Why? Because the subject of taqdeer will give you sukoon, contentment. In Islam we are told that taqdeer means whatever good, whatever evil that touches you, it is from Allah. And whatever Allah has assigned for you, whatever Allah wants to give you in this dunya, that is your portion and be happy with it. That is your portion and be happy with it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an did not fight Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq like how the Rafzis portray it, because it is in their interest to prepare this false propaganda. Why? Hazrat Ali was a soldier, bhai. What was he? He was a soldier. Koi aam aadmi nahi the, bhai. Hazrat Ali was a powerful, he was a mighty warrior. If ever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had told him that, Ali, you are to be my successor, Hazrat Ali would have fought the whole world to respect Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's honor. That he told me that I am going to be the Khalifa. I am prepared to fight the whole world for that matter. Because he was a warrior, a man of principle. He fought with everyone. But you see, taqdeer. Happy with the share, happy with the portion allocated to me. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is the first Khalifa. Hazrat Umar Farooq is the second Khalifa. Hazrat Uthman is the third Khalifa. I am the fourth Khalifa. Khair. Subhanallah. Contentment only comes to a person when there is no greed inside him. When there is no greed inside him. Taqdeer. This is very important. So whatever Allah has given you, if Allah has given you a lot of wealth, and you are very, very rich, say Alhamdulillah. That is the shukr of Allah. And when you do the shukr of Allah, Allah will give you more. There's nothing wrong with that. And if Allah has not given you a lot of dunya, then you also do shukr of Allah. This is what you call taqdeer. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh has mentioned something very, very amazing, my respected brothers. You know, sometimes we only think that scholars were just born in India, Pakistan. And we only talk about our scholars. No problem. I suppose that's expected or natural because we have this affinity and a connection to the Indo-Pak. Because that's where our teachers come from. And our teachers are great teachers, mashallah. But believe me, there have been great, great teachers and giants in this ummah. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh is one of them. Very powerful scholar. He is the ustaz of Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Kathir, we have heard of the tafsir, the most famous tafsir is called Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Ustaz. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh. Very great scholar. Words of wisdom that flow from him. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh has mentioned, Allah created the malaika, the angels, with no desire, but with intellect. What did he say? Allah created the angels with no desire but with intellect. Allah created the animals with desire but no intellect. Animals have no intelligence, no intellect. Of course they have a brain, but not like, you know, the intellect that we are talking about. Insan that Allah created, Allah gave him desire and Allah gave him the intellect. And then he says, if intellect prevails in a human being above his desire, if intellect prevails, then that insan is better than the malaika. Then that insan is better than the angels. If intellect prevails over desire, shahwat. But if desire prevails over the intellect, then he is worse than the animals. He is worse than the animals. So every man can actually look inside himself and ponder that what is my situation? Where am I? Main kahan hoon? And you see, desire is not just your sexual desire. Desire can be even your ego, your takabbur, that is your desire. How dare somebody speaks in front of me like that? How dare somebody cuts my opinion? How dare somebody speaks about me in this way? This is also your own desire. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today in Jumu'ah, as we were talking, that shaitan, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned that many people can't even take control of their temper. And when you can't take control of your temper, what happens? You start throwing things and you start to strike people with things. You hit them. You might have a knife, you might have, you know, a baseball bat or anything metal or anything that's going to cause injury. And you might harm someone because you can't take control of your. And this is desire when you can't take. And a lot of the times it is ego. A person, road rage, for an example. Nothing. Sometimes it happens, you know, when the street is very tight, small street hoti hai. Wo jahan main rehta hu, rozana hota hai. There's a car there and there's a car coming here. I'm not going back. The other person, I'm not going back. Tera kya, mera kya? I'm not going back. You're not going back? Okay, we're not going back. You're not going back. I'm not going back. And that's it. And sometimes, you know, to diffuse this tension can be difficult. But sometimes this can escalate. This can escalate. And it can escalate in such a manner that you can be killed, or you can end up in prison, or you can lose a limb, or something that can happen to you. It can change your life. A lot of things. That does not mean I am inviting you to become a buzdil or a coward, of course. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that there are foolish people that are around us. And that is why if we understand the Qur'an gives us a very beautiful lesson. The Qur'an says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ When you see someone in front of you who is a jahil, you know, he's got too much takabbur, ego inside him, and he is talking nonsense, you don't need to waste time to him. If a dog is barking and you are barking at the dog, what's the difference? If a dog is barking and you decide, right, he's barking at me, I'll bark at him. Koi farak nahi. You just ignore the dog and you just walk away and turn the side and carry on. You get people like that. Nightmare neighbors. Kya? I know someone here who's got a nightmare neighbor. Bichara. Allah unko aram kar de. Bolo ameen yaar. He's suffering. Bolo Allah, remove all the difficulty from him. Ye bhi ajeeb log hote. They are Muslims, but they want to make life so difficult for the brothers. But why? When Allah's Nabi has said, look after your neighbor. Compromise with him. It's okay. Help him and assist him. To subhanallah al-azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you see jahil people, you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to retaliate all the time. The best answer to foolish people is, you just turn away. Qalu salama. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yeah? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just walk away. Khalas. That is a sign of an intelligent person. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Khatam. Anbiya alayhimu salam were very intelligent people. Were they not, my respected brothers? Look at their lifestyle. Somebody calling them majnoon, somebody calling them sahir, somebody calling them sha'ir. All sorts of names were given. Tahammul, that was their how. The Ahle Yahud would come and say to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alaykum, astaghfirullah, may death be to you. When Hazrat Aisha heard this, being the wife, she started cursing them, that salam back to you, death to you and la'anat to you. Allah's Nabi said, Aisha, no. Don't cross the boundary. They said, Salamu alaykum. I said also, wa alaykum, and death be to you also finished. Khatam ho gayi baat. And so my respected brothers and elders, sometimes you will find that this happens. You've got your ego. That is why, when it comes to your anger, when it comes to retaliation, when it comes to fighting someone physically, Shaitan is always there. Very quickly they gang up in that circle. And they will put in your mind two things. One, you get angry. And when you get angry, thereafter, if you have anything in your car, you have something in your hands, you might have something, let me strike it at him and let me, you know, harm him. Allah's Nabi said that. لَعَلَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَنْزِعُ فِي يَدِهِ فَيَقَعُ فِي حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. That Shaitan will actually plant this in front of you. There might be something in front of you. You might be in the kitchen. You might be in the house somewhere. Allahu Akbar. All sorts of things can happen. And there is one amazing hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us to understand. Allah's Nabi has explained this. Izal taqal muslimani bisayfihima. When two Muslims fight with their swords or with anything, whether it is swords, a knife, a gun, whatever, but saif means a sword. Two Muslims are fighting each other. Then what happens? Allah's Nabi said, فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. Amazing. Allah's Nabi said, the one who is killed, the one who is killed, he is in Jahannam. And the fighter, the murderer, he is also in Jahannam. How is that? The one who is killed, uska inna lillah ho gaya. He is in Jahannam. And the one who killed him, the killer, the one who murdered him, he is also in Jahannam. Sahaba-e kiram ajma'in were quick to answer. They says, O Nabi of Allah, we understand that the murderer, he can go to Jahannam, but the one who is killed, what about him? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. Desire, ego, that was inside him. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيسًا عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِكَ. That he was also wanting to do the same thing, that if he was given the opportunity, he would have also killed him. He had the same intention. Both of them were fighting. No one is innocent here. Both of them were fighting. And both of them are in Jahannam. Why? Although that person died. But if he was given the power, he would have done the same thing to harm him also. And there are many lessons for us to learn in this, my respected brothers and elders. That is why, my respected brothers, we have to take control of ourselves. Learn the art of restraint. And this will also save our marriages. This will also save the family that is around us. Subhanallah. And isn't it amazing? The Quran makes mention of the first murder that took place in humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنِ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. The Quran says to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make tilawat, give information to your ummah with regards to the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, and the story that you narrate without a doubt is haqq, is nothing but the truth. Why did Allah say it is haqq? Now imagine in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is going back all the way to the first human being, giving you information of that. But the information that the Quran gives you about Adam alayhi salam, the first man, and his family, Allah is saying that this is not some biblical text or some verse from the Banu Israel. This is the kalam of Allah, and the kalam of Allah is haqq. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Allah speaks about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam bilhaq, that we speak to you about the story of Joseph, that is haqq. Everything what the Quran mentions, it is 100% accurate. How amazing. Adam alayhi salatu was salam. See, when he came down, it was after a long period of time, he had the opportunity to meet the wife, Hazrat Hawa. And when they met, of course, it was the decree of Allah. And unlike how humanity and the progeny, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for humanity that a woman gets pregnant and for 9 months the baby is in the stomach, it was very different in the time of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. She was giving birth to twins. Every pregnancy, the birth that she gave was to twins. And the twins were, one was a boy and one was a girl. Now obviously, you know, at that time the world population was not so much. The very first twins that were born to Hazrat Hawa was a son whose name was Qabil. Qabil and a girl, his sister. And in his Shariat was that the boy and girl in the first pregnancy are brothers, real brothers and real sister. So they are mahram. What are they? Mahram. In the time of Adam alayhi salam, this was the Shariat. And then during the second pregnancy, again a boy and a girl was born. And they are mahram to one another. So in the first pregnancy, Qabil was born. And Qabil was, you know, not so handsome. But the sister to Qabil, as in the same pregnancy that was born, in the same womb, boy and girl, Qabil came out and also a girl came out, the real sister. She was very beautiful. Qabil wasn't. She was very beautiful. And then the second pregnancy was with Habil. Now Habil was very handsome. And the sister was not so very pretty. She wasn't very beautiful. Now according to Shariat, of course, it was the plan of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make sure that humanity spreads everywhere in the world, insaniyat. And so Adam alayhi salam said to Qabil, that Qabil, look, she is your sister. You are to get married to Habil's sister. And Habil has to get married to your sister, Qabil's sister. Again, This is nafs, ego. You see, Shaitan, how he works is that he slowly builds inside you hatred, grudge, animosity, slowly building. He didn't hate Adam alayhi salam immediately. He didn't hate him. Shaitan didn't hate Adam alayhi salam. But the breaking news in the heavens, the malaika and everybody was talking about it, that Allah Pak has decided to create another creation. Another creation is going to be created. The jinns were created, the malaika were created, the third creation, a human being will be created. So now again, the same thing inside him. And it was heard that this insan will be given a lot of respect and his honor will be great. And when he started hearing this, that his honor will be great, Allah will give him karamat, slowly this building of grudge, hatred, animosity. And this is the same thing that is in our community also. Allahu Akbar, that we are not the well-wishers of one another. And even the mothers and sisters that are listening at home, until you don't cleanse your heart, this element of jealousy, you know, why has that person got this? Why has that person got this? Why this, that? Subhanallah, that is why I said that the concept of taqdeer is so important. That you are happy with whatever Allah has given you. A lady who gets married now, she is mashallah pretty, the husband is not as good looking, so what? Kya hua isme? You understand? Isme kya hua? That is the taqdeer of Allah. As long as they have good character. Alhamdulillah. You know, there is a joke around. Shall I just give you that joke? There was an Arab man who fell in love with a Meman lady. There was an Arab chap who fell in love with a Meman lady. So he proposed to the father, you know, Meman father. Okay, look, you know what, I want to get married to your girl. And because he's an Arab, a very rich guy, he goes, you know what, I will give gold equivalent to the weight of your daughter. Allah, kaam ho gaya na Idris. Idris is now in Dubai. Idris is now flying there. Idris, let me hold your hands here. So anyway, so this Arab brother says, you know what, I will give gold equivalent to the weight. Mehman log to pata hai na. So the father says, you know what, I'll give you an answer later on. And after many weeks, the father was not giving any answer. The Arab guy is saying to him, "Bhai, what's the matter? You know, is it a yes or no?" He goes, no. I'm just feeding my daughter so she becomes very fat. What? She becomes very, very? Toh moti hogi, toh paise bhi zyada honge. You said you're going to weigh her, so let her put on weight. Subhanallah. But anyway, jokes aside, guys, but whatever Allah has decreed for you, be happy with that. And this is something very, very important. So, Qabil and Habil, now again, slowly, and this is the problem, you know, the issue of beauty. It's not just now, it goes back to the time of Adam alayhi salam. And he did not want Qabil did not want Habil to marry the sister because she was very beautiful and Habil was also a bit handsome. So now he says, no, you know what, I disagree with this. He disagrees with the father. Now we need to understand that Adam alayhi salam is a Nabi. What is he? Now you might be wondering, how is Nabuwat given to Adam alayhi salam? Bhai, look, he is a Nabi, the first man is a Nabi. You know, they say that the oldest religion is what? What do they say? Yeah, that's what they say. Can you say? Hinduism. How can Hinduism be the oldest religion when the first man is Adam alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah? So anyway, I had an opportunity to speak to somebody, giving them da'wat and things like that. You talk to them. So I was explaining, you know, about Islam, the concept of Islam, and he was talking to me about his faith. So he said that, you know, nowadays we are celebrating Ganpati Bappa. What are we celebrating? Oh, Ganpati Bappa. Baba. Ji? Ganpati Bappa. Something like that. So I said, oh, okay. And I want to hear from you. You know what? Alhamdulillah, you see, when you talk about Islam, everything about Islam makes sense to the intellect 101%. What is it? So that is why a Muslim is never shy to talk about his faith. Islam, we say, right, this is what we do. Come, come. What questions have you got? Come. Atheists, come. Anybody, come. Talk to us. Challenge us. The Quran is challenging humanity. 1400 years, can you produce one ayat like the Quran? See, Quran, a Muslim is not shy. Come, everybody comes. Your Anglo-Saxons have gone away, your Vikings have gone away. You know, the sun never sets in the British Empire. That has come to a closure. All the Roman Empire, the Persian empires have gone with the wind. It was expected that Islam will dwindle away. But Allah said, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. You know, they wanted to extinguish and take out Islam. Wallahu mutimmu nurihi. Allah will never allow that. Islam gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Look at all the other nations. They've gone. Allah's Nabi, born in Makkah, Mukarrama. And look at his following. Look at his teachings. Whatever Islam says, it's crystal clear. So I said, look, you know what, I'm going to talk to you, but you talk to me about your faith. Because, you know, when something is out of the mind, I'm going to question you. So the first thing I said to him, so this Ganpati, he's an elephant. What is he? Elephant. Now, you see what Allah says, Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul, when Ayatul Kursi ends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Basharat to the people of Iman. That is why Suratul Baqarah is a very powerful surah. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the personal friend of those who have Iman. And what does Allah do when Allah is your friend? Listen to this. Look at the Quran. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah takes that person with Iman from darkness. Allah pulls him out from darkness and puts him into Noor. That is why Allah created night and day. The sun, Allah created, so you understand that the sun is so important that your businesses are running, your economy is running, you can see everything. If Allah wanted, it would have been night, 24 hours night. But Allah created the sun. So Allah is saying, like how the sun is very important for your dunya, there is another light that has to be inside you that will navigate you in the right direction. And that light is Iman. That light is Iman. It takes you out from darkness into light. And then the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the people who are in the state of kufr, أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. Their friends are shaitan, tagut. يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. Allah takes them out from light and they put themselves into darkness. This is what shaitan does. Shaitan takes you out from noor and puts you into darkness. And this is it. You'll see the darkness that's out there. So I said, you know, how did this elephant come about? And the reason why I want to say this, wallahi, my respected brothers and elders, I am not here to disrespect and make a mockery of any religion. No. Why should I? We don't want to make a mockery of anybody. But all we want to do is compare the teachings, when we look at comparative religions, as human beings in the modern world that we live in, understand Islamic values, understand the noor that Allah is talking about. Now, according to them, the female goddess was having a bath and she says, I'm having a bath, and she created somebody, her own son she created, and said, wait for me outside, nobody comes inside. And the father, who was also a god, I fail to remember the names, but all of these were gods, you know, there are actually 30 million gods. So, and he went out for many years, but lo behold, when he came and he saw a stranger standing at the door, and he did not allow the father to come in. And he didn't know that it's the father. And father, being a god, didn't know that this is my son, whatever. And anyway, out of anger, we talk about ISIS, he chopped off the head. What did he do? He chopped off the head. And then when the lady came out, and she was furious, what have you done? Ye toh hamara beta tha, bachcha tha, pagal ho kya? He took the head out. And anyway, she decided that she is going to end the world. What is she? She is going to end the world. Then somebody else, a third man comes along. He is also one of the gods. I can't remember who man it. Baat usse ki, but I forgot. But anyway, he came along and he pleaded, no, no, don't destroy the earth. Don't do this. She goes, okay, with one condition. I want my son to be alive again. And sort it out. He hasn't got a head. Now logically it was so easy. By the head that is on one side, why don't you put that on him? Right? So that father says, okay, you know what? Bichara, wo jungle mein gaya, elephant masoom chal raha tha. That elephant was walking, you know, he didn't even know what was happening. And so this father says, the elephant looks like a good head, man, big one, you know. Bichara, elephant ko mara. How many heads have they cut now? So the elephant's head was cut and he comes and he says, you know what, I'm going to join this head to this boy. And now we have this god who's called Ganpati Bapa. And he is the one who gives you prosperity and eliminates evil from the house. And especially in Maharashtra, in parts of Bombay, you'll find that, you know, every year, you know, this idol is thrown into the waters, and I don't know, wallahu alam, all these things that we see. And that is why, my respected brothers and elders, when we see the things with our eyes that are around us, we should thank Allah, Malik, you have given us hidayat. Allah, if you wanted, we would have been in that position. If you wanted, we would have been in that position, Ya Malik. It's not your intelligence, my intelligence. It is not our hushyari. It is the mercy of Allah. It is the mercy of Allah that today you and I have got akal and we understand straight and we know what is right and we know what is wrong. And the same thing. That is why the world cannot do without Islam. And the more you take out Islam from your life, the more difficult it will become for you. Bas, finish. Khatam baat. Anyway, going back to Qabil. Qabil, again, I'm not going to listen to my dad. You know, my sister's very beautiful. And remember, at that time, there were not so many ladies. So things were different. And he decided, no, you know what Shariat, and I was talking about Adam alayhi salam's Shariat, he was a Nabi of Allah. How? Because when he came down in this dunya with the children, he was giving them hidayat that Allah is our creator. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ Allah has created everything. He taught the children that there is only one creator. And he was talking to people, to his children, progeny, about Allah. So he was a Nabi of Allah, no doubt. Allah talks about this in the Quran. Anyway, there was a dispute now between father and the two sons. So Adam alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah. He made dua, Allah gave. Allah said to Adam alayhi salam, no worry, don't worry. What you do is we'll end this dispute by tell them to give some charity. Tell them to give some charity. And this, the charity that they would give in the time of Adam alayhi salam was in the form of qurbani. What was it? Now, there were only a few people. So what would happen is that there was a mountain, and what they would want to give in the path of Allah, they would leave it there. And there were no needy people at that time that you can give to the fuqara. There were only a few sons that were there. So what would happen is that the fire would come from the heavens and burn it, and this would mean acceptance that Allah has accepted your qurbani. Now Habil was a shepherd. Qabil was a farmer. Qabil was a farmer. So Habil, for his qurbani, he got this very healthy looking animal. And Qabil, what he did, he got produce, wheat and all that, and he put it on the side, and both were waiting. And Allah accepted the qurbani of Habil. Because the Shariat was that you have to marry the other sister, Habil's sister, not your own sister. So anyway, now when Allah accepted the qurbani of the brother Habil, he got even more angry. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكْ Look, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. He went straight for murder. Now, again here, the Mufassirin have mentioned, nobody at that time knew how to kill, what would happen, because he was the first son. How do you end a person's life? Nobody knew about that. Adam alayhi salam was the only source and teacher. By that time, Shaitan was down. By that time, Shaitan was down. And Shaitan was informing Qabil that, you know what, pick up something strong, like a stone or something, and hit it on the head, and this will end the dispute with your brother. And when he warned him, and Qabil said to Habil, I'm going to kill you, Habil was intelligent. He understood, and he took the advice from the father. He was a good son. He said, لَإِن بَسَتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُولَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُولَكَ If you are going to stretch your hands to kill me, don't think I'm going to retaliate. I am not going to stretch my hands to kill you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ I fear Allah. I'm not going to do nothing. And he did not do nothing. Subhanallah. And then eventually, he killed his brother, Habil. And now when he killed his brother Habil, he was remorseful. And this is the fitrat of insan, that when you do something wrong, that is when you feel that what I did is wrong. But in the beginning, Shaitan does not allow you to see wrong and right. Now when the body was there of Habil, he went and he met his father. So the father said to him, Adam alayhi salam, where's your brother? She goes, I'm not responsible of my brother. I don't know where he is. Adam alayhi salam knew something is wrong anyway. But then what do we do with this body? He did not even know the procedure of disposing of the human body. What do we do? The shaitan put him there, told him, you know, if you hit him, then he will die. And he died. When he looked, he's touching his brother and the eyes are closed. And he understood that there's something wrong. And then Allah, out of His infinite mercy, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. And Allah sent down two crows. And in fact, one was a dead crow and one was alive. And when one crow died, the other crow started digging a hole and pushed the crow inside that hole and then put the soil on top, dust on top of it. And when he saw this in front of his eyes, that this is what you do, it came in his heart that this is how you do dafan. And he decided that I am going to do dafan to my brother. So Qabil killed the brother Habil, and he was the one who buried him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, all the qatl, the murders that take place in dunya today of innocent people are also on the head of Qabil, because he was the first person to open the evil traits of murder. This sunnah of killing was by this man. So that is why when you do something that is good and when others follow you, that is your sadqah jariyah. But if you do something wrong and others follow you, that is negative sadqah jariyah for you. That is guna that is on you. And that is why the brother Habil said to Qabil, you know what, I'm not going to do nothing to you. If you want to kill me, it's fine. And what he said, that I will do sabr. What I want to see is that my sins are put on you, and you in the hereafter will be from the people of Jahannam because of the wrong that you are doing. And he was trying to explain to his brother that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah accepts from the people of taqwa. Where is your taqwa gone? Where is your taqwa gone? And so this is how it ended. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, your faculties, the brain, we have to make sure that certain things have to be protected. And I haven't got time, but it's called Usule Khamsa. The five things that have to be protected in Shariat are very, very important. If Allah wills, inshallah, we will continue next Jumu'ah or in our Dars in the evening, inshallah. After Isha, Jazakallah. So from now, next week, all our sessions will be after Isha. Isha next week is around 9 o'clock, inshallah. Jazakallah. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.